story. It's lovely music, kind of a folky sound, which is somewhat unusual for musicals. And then also this story of a young woman who has really had a difficult life, who's coming to a small town after being in prison for 5 years, grew up in difficult circumstances. And the townsfolk initially are very wary of this outsider. And she becomes an agent of transformation, an agent of redemption in this small town. And I think right now that message of hope and redemption and an outsider or a stranger being the vehicle of that hope feels really pertinent to our current national situation.
Nice. And so it's a musical. Is it very recent work?
Or? It's based on a movie, actually, that was made in the 90s called, as well, The Spitfire Grill. And it is not super recent, but it hasn't had a very large, I would say, following. So it felt like a really important and appropriate musical. It also has really great roles for women. And we at Whitworth University have many very strong women in our theater department. And we wanted to give them a show that could showcase some of their talent.
So was this were you the one that knew about this show and found it?
Indeed, yes.
Where had you encountered it before?
I watched the movie and was so impacted by the story of the movie that I began to research it and found that someone else had also been inspired by the movie and had written a musical. So my journey to this musical came from watching The Spitfire Grill.
Nice. And does it matter for our purposes how the title relates to everything you've just said about the about the story? Or
yeah, the title of The Spitfire Grill really just refers to the grill, the diner, that is kind of the central focus for the whole play. So our parolee, Percy Talbot, finds work in this small town at a grill titled The Spitfire Grill.
Okay, there we go. Well, let's meet the three actors that came along. Camille Andre.
That's me. Hello. That's
you playing Hannah Ferguson. Who are you in this story?
Yes, my character is the grumpy old woman who owns the diner that Percy comes to and works at.
And so have you, does it take a certain side of your life when you've always wanted to yell at people and so you get
to be
that grumpy old woman?
Yes, for sure. I also have the wonderful opportunity to explore the range of my voice. Old women kind of talk in this low register. So working with that has been wonderful and just a great new form of vocal range that I get to work with, which has been really exciting.
A little parenthetical aside, have you had to kind of technically deal with that so that it doesn't do you any damage or anything, so you do it in a healthy way?
Sort of. It all depends on how much I've warmed up, I have found. If I try to just drop into it whenever I can, I found that it can get a little scratchy and not sound very healthy. If I have warmed up and I have sung in that range and I do a lot of noises when I'm warming up, then it comes out pretty naturally. And at that point, it's just a matter of remembering to do it.
Nice. Well, let's keep meeting these people. That's the role of Hannah Ferguson, the woman who you don't mess with, it sounds like to me. Dylan King is Caleb Thorpe. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning.
And who are you in this play?
I am Hannah's nephew. I have lived in this small town my entire life. And I think a big defining part of him is that he was the foreman at the quarry that was nearby, and it has recently shut down, and he's sort of searching for meaning in this new aspect of his life.
Now, Hannah sounds like a pretty dominant woman. How's your relationship to her? Do you have some of the same strength, or are you overwhelmed by her?
I think he definitely tries to carry on Hannah's strength, but I think he's a little too young, a little too inexperienced to understand where to apply that strength. He wants to take care of things, and he's going to do it the way that he knows how, which is through blunt force a lot of the time.
Nice. And and the third of these people, Alex Stroming, as Percy Talbot. Who are you in this?
I play Percy. Percy is the recently released parolee who has just come to Gilead, Maine for the very first time.
So you're the person who this kind of centers around you, or this revolves around you.
Yeah, it really, I think, revolves around Percy's journey and her interactions with all of these interesting and strong characters in this town, but also finding herself and finding her own truth and her own redemption amidst amidst everything else that's happening.
So what do you bring with you from prison to do that? Do you bring in, do you bring strength or do you bring disorientation?
I think it's both. I think she brings a certain amount of strength, but she also has a great deal of brokenness inside her that needs to be healed. And I think it's really beautiful throughout the show to kind of see how she is able to build herself back up through relationships with the people in the town.
Okay. And let's bring it back around to the director, because among others, a little bit later we're going to have a song from the show, but we have a dialogue between Hannah and her nephew Caleb. How does this fit in?
Yeah, so what we're about to hear is a moment where Caleb has discovered that his old Aunt Hannah has gone, quote unquote, behind his back and has done something to try to raffle off her Spitfire Grill, her diner. And the reason she does that is that she has some brokenness in her own past, in her own life. She's been trying to sell this grill for 10 years. And Caleb, her nephew, moved from working at the quarry to being a real estate agent and has not been able to find a buyer for this diner for the last 10 years. Well, Percy came up with an idea that maybe they could raffle off this diner. Folks send in an essay, and then at the end of the day, someone will be chosen to be the new owner of the grill. Caleb is not excited that someone who's an ex-con came up with an idea to what he thinks, I think, is to swindle his aunt out of her diner. And that's where the scene begins.
Well, let's hear this conversation between Hannah and her nephew, Caleb.
Aunt Hannah! Aunt Hannah!
No need to shout.
What the hell is this about?
I don't have my glasses. What does it say?
Win a hometown grill? Enter the Spitfire raffle? Tell me this is some kind of joke.
Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, all right. I can hear the whole county laughing right now. What the hell were you thinking?
To tell you the truth, Shelby and Percy did the thinking.
Shelby and Percy? Well, that's just great.
The Spitfire's been on the market 10 years, Caleb. I thought it was time to try something new. Or maybe you were hoping I'd leave it to you when I kick over.
Why would I want this old grill?
Oh, it might just be worth a little something. Lord knows it would have been worth a hell of a lot more if you'd sold it 10 years ago, before they ran the highway through Mineral Point instead of here.
And I suppose that was my fault. Cripes, it must be my fault that the quarry closed, too. Of course, none of that would have happened if Eli was alive.
You leave him out of this.
Why? It's what you're always thinking, isn't it? You and Shelby and everybody! If only Eli!
Caleb! Maybe that's what you're always thinking. Don't even pretend to know what I'm thinking.
Ah, to hell with it. Go ahead, raffle it off. I don't even know why I try.
So clearly, what we're hearing, this is a serious play. This is a serious subject and serious stuff going on. And so let's kind of just break into that with you three actors who are inhabiting this with certainly the director, Nephthalie Fields, kind of leading this discussion. What's it like to do a play about these real-life, grown-up, difficult situations?
That's a great question. I think it adds an element of maturity and seriousness that we don't always get to work with. It's really easy to do a show where the mood is light and it's really easy to laugh. While there is laughing and jokes in this show, the underlying message is one of seriousness and maturity. And I think that it's almost more difficult to work with, just because coming into rehearsal, you have to come in with that mindset, which you don't always have for the rest of your day. And we have rehearsals in the evenings. So coming in and joking with, you know, your colleagues, and then suddenly having to switch into this mindset mm-hmm. of seriousness can sometimes be difficult, and that has been a challenge, I know, at least for me. But it has definitely been a great opportunity to grow in my acting skill set, and definitely it's an experience that I will cherish for the rest of my college career, at least, and maybe for the rest of my life.
Dylan, did you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, and something I think that we set out to do right at the very beginning was we didn't want to make caricatures out of these people. And it's often really easy to do that. The setting is a small rural town, and that's not, I think, any of our experiences, at least not in such a specific way. And it could be very easy for us to make big, jokey characters out of these. And they're real people. They have real struggles, and they're very complex. And so I think one of the biggest difficulties was making it a respectful, realistic portrayal of these lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you seem to be agreeing with that, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that also just one of the biggest joys of being a part of this process, specifically with this cast and this creative team and our crew, is that everyone has put their whole heart into this process. And knowing that you can trust the people around you and knowing that they're going to be behind you no matter what, no matter if you try something and it's terrible, then you try it again the next night, or if you get something right that everyone knows you've been trying to get right for the past 5 runs, then everyone just celebrates and rejoices with you. And I think that it's the people that really make the difference. And even when we're dealing with heavy subject matter, it just makes the time that we get to spend together even more precious.
And rotating this, the three of the actors, Camille Andre, Dylan King, and we were just hearing from Alex Stroming. And back to you, Nephilim. The really great things that I think Camille was hitting on. And so for you as the teacher who has to take care of these people and guide them and everything, to what extent do you use skill and technique and the craft of acting versus inhabiting the character and sharing that character's emotions and then having to go through the rest of your day with that as baggage? Talk about that aspect of Up for College Actors.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's always an important thing when you're talking about younger actors. Sometimes we make the assumption that because someone is 18 to 22, they don't have life experience that has to do with serious subject matter. And that is just not true. The students at Whitworth know and understand things like grief and regret and patience and so many other emotions that really are at the heart of who these characters are. So while some of the life experiences may not be exactly the same, it is not a challenge as an acting teacher to tell my actors, what does it feel like to long for something that you cannot have? What does it feel like to regret a decision you've made? That's an emotional reality that they have experienced in their lives. Now, the question of how do we make sure that this is an emotionally healthy process for them when they leave the rehearsal room, I think has to do with the understanding that by telling a character's story, you are serving them in a way that is unique and also to us at Whitworth is part of what we call or think of as our Christian calling, right? That you are doing a service to these characters, to this story. And so thinking of that as doing a service, sacrificing some of your evening every night to taking on this difficult story, then I think gives you the freedom to be able to put it down at the end of the night and say, I've done my service tonight. Now I need to go home and get some rest so I can do my service tomorrow.
Yeah. And still be students at Whitworth and go to class and do all the other stuff.
And that's where it gets complicated. Yes.
And so I'd like to go through the lineup once more of you talking about where acting and music, acting and singing both, fit into the rest of your lives at Whitworth. We'll begin with you, Camille Andre.
Yeah, I have always loved singing. I like to joke that I could sing before I could talk. It's always been just a huge and very influential part of my life. It's a way that I express myself. My mom was a choral teacher before she got married and had me. And my dad did a lot of theater in college and beyond. And so it's always been a huge part of my family. So this just felt like a natural next step almost, to go into theater and to be an actor. And I almost, like Naftali was saying earlier, I almost feel like it's, a way to serve God through my body and through my voice. It's always, I always just find it so much easier to worship through song than sitting and, with any other medium. I love the way that it makes me feel, and that I can use that to, like I said, to serve God and to put in all this work and then have something tangible to show people, and to send the message via the show and via the lyrics and the story to an audience that in some ways needs to hear some of these messages that the show is portraying. And the fact that I am a part of that is just fills my love tank, as my mom would say.
Nice. That's Camille Andre and to Dylan King. How does this fit into the rest of your life at Whitworth?
It's a huge part of my life. I'm a theater major, and I sing in choir and I sing in the show. It's the kind of thing that I hope to be doing for the rest of my life. It's this aspect of our worlds that becomes our professional career, hopefully, if that's what we plan to go into. But with Whitworth, it's so varied. There's a lot of things that you can do and that you have access to. I'm double majoring. I'm also an English major, and I'd spend a lot of my time in that world as well. But there's a lot of crossover. There are people who come from all walks of life to do theater, and there are people who come from all walks of life to do English things. And it's something that's really wonderful about Whitworth, is that ability to go out into these unknown worlds and see what you like and see what you don't like and find your place, however strange and reaching it may be, into whatever fields it exists in.
Nice. Dylan King. And then you, Alex Stroming.
Yeah, well, similarly to Camille, singing and acting, dancing, theater has basically just been part of my life since I was very, very young. But being able to continue to do these things at a place like Whitworth, where everyone is so supportive, not only of your talents, but also just of you as a person, I think is the most important. And for me, I'm not interested necessarily in performing professionally. I'm more interested in directing and teaching that side of theater. And so having the opportunity to inhabit this character has just been really special for me. And I just hope that even if I can impact one person who sees my character on stage and says, I relate to that, I have been through something similar, or I've felt something that character is feeling, and I see that Percy, that she's going to be okay, then I feel like I've done my job every night.
Thank you, Alex Stroming. The three folks from Whitworth, let's hear them combine to sing Shoot the Moon from the Spitfire Grill. It's 7:30 tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday at 2.
Hartford, Houston, Harrisburg, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Portland, Pittsburgh, Providence, Rapid City, South Dakota. Say what you want, say what you will, all of them care of the Spitfire Grill. Now, as postmistress, I have got a legal right to know if the mail service is being used for some irregular purpose. So, are you going to tell me what's going on here, Hannah Ferguson? Or am I going to have to open these letters myself?
Not that it's any of your business, Effie. But if you must know, I'm running a contest to give away the grill.
What kind of contest?
Folks out there will pay a price to win a chance at paradise. They pray for luck and give the dice a go. I'd need a cold day deep in hell before this grill would ever sell. So why not try $100 a throw?
It's legal on the up and up. Folks drop their money in the cup and write a little essay on the grill.
I bet you when the deal goes down, she'll be the laughing stock of town, and greed is such a bitter little pill.
Comes the time to shoot the moon, take a chance, say what the hell, pay to pop the prize balloon, spit into the wishing well. Shoot the moon, life is hard and gone too soon. Shoot the moon, shoot the moon, shoot the moon.
Yeah, hello? I'm trying to track down some articles about the trial. About 5 years ago? Yeah, I'll hold.
Cincinnati.
Shoot the moon.
Birmingham and Buffalo. Amarillo.
Shoot the moon.
Santa Fe, New Mexico. Denver, Dallas.
Shoot the moon.
Pistol River, Oregon. Tampa, Tulsa.
Shoot the moon.
Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Huh? It's official postage!
The time to shoot the moon. Place your dollar on and dare. Drown it in a cheap saloon. Soon you'll be too drunk to care.
Shoot the moon, shoot the moon. Life is hard and gone too soon. Shoot the moon, shoot the moon. Shoot the moon.
Cleveland, Concord, Corpus Christi, Indianapolis, Indiana, Chattanooga, Chattahoochee, Baton Rouge, Louisiana,
Nashville, Knoxville, New York, Albany, and Austin, Madison, Memphis, Mobile, Baltimore. Don't
rearrange my furniture!
Oh, I hope you're happy now, Hannah Ferguson. Holy Moses!
Holy mackerel! Holy shit!
Shoot the Moon from Spitfire Grill, sung by the three folks who were in the studio just a minute ago. And the Spitfire Grill is this weekend and next weekend at Whitworth. And my thanks to my co-workers for helping in this morning's technical needs.